You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn, Opelika. I hate you, man. The first day that we're in the studio together for the full 2 hours, and you made me laugh at 2:01:20. My goodness. Your mic wasn't even on. Say it again. No, don't say that. Don't say that again. No. Oh, God. All right. Trip, rerun the intro, restart, play the music again. What a disaster of a start. Goodness. Happy Thursday, everybody. We're having a good Thursday. Well, you are now.
Yeah.
You had a bad Wednesday night, but you've had an okay Thursday. Are you? I'm proud of you for getting out of bed today.
For calling games.
Yeah, that. Oh, goodness. All right, reset. Happy Thursday. I'm Jacob. He's Christian. We got our good buddy Tripp in here as well. It's a loaded studio, loaded show, broken show if you can't tell. Gorgeous day in Auburn. My goodness, what a beautiful day. What a beautiful weekend it's going to be for baseball, between high school baseball, college baseball. Going to be just absolutely perfect for the Diamond Sports. And so this is On the Line. It's the show that tells you like it is. We hold nothing back. And most of the time, we can't keep it together. So welcome in. We have a ton to get to on today's show. Talking Auburn baseball as they host Georgia this weekend for the biggest series in college baseball this weekend. One of the biggest series rankings-wise of the entire season is going down at Plainsman Park starting tonight. We're going to talk about it, give our opinions, kind of give our analysis a little bit. We're also going to talk to Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network about it. We're going to talk to him because he'll be on the call with Andy Burcham on the Auburn Sports Network over on Wings 94.3. We'll talk to him at 2:30. Plus, we have some pretty fun football updates as well. And we're going to talk to Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC. But happy Thursday, Christian.
Happy Thursday. Happy Houston Astros for Chris Gordy as well. Yordan Alvarez going deep.
Yordan Alvarez.
The odds are just crazy.
Where does he rank now season-wise? That's 14 he's hit now? He's got to be top five.
Yeah, oh, definitely up there. I know that Murakami was at 14 at one point. Trout was up there.
Mm-hmm. Schwarber's up there.
The leaders, Schwarber is now, yeah, after having five straight days with a bomb. I think he stopped that streak yesterday at Fenway, but yeah, I know that some of the leaders kind of stalled off for a moment. I know, obviously, Aaron Judge up there as well. But you're starting to see some of the guys that stalled a little bit early on find their home run swing. And so
I think 14 puts him tied with Matt Olson at fifth coming into today, I believe.
Makes sense. Who's at the top?
Schwarber at 17. Judge at 16. Byron Buxton at 15, and then
Buxton's had two multi-hit home run games in the last week.
Yeah, and then Murakami at 15. So again, I think this was coming into today, and so you now have Yordan Alvarez tied with Matt Olson for 14.
There we go, Matt. You just got to hit one again tonight and sweep the Cubs. Easy
That's
work,
it.
Man.
That's all you got to do.
Really is a simple game.
Ben
really
Rice in there too at 13. Yeah.
But no, we are, man. This is going to be a really fun show today. All three of us in the studio here this afternoon. You mentioned it, talking Auburn baseball. Really excited to be able to begin breaking down this series. Again, every single SEC series, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, here this weekend, so that way everybody can begin their travel plans or whatever they need to do with making their way to Hoover. Thankfully, Auburn has a shorter trip, and I wouldn't complain if after the series, it means Auburn gets an extra day or two to not have to play up in Hoover. That would be a very, very good sign. Auburn in a very, very good spot, regardless of where you look. to be a national seed, obviously one more win would do basically put that in concrete, put that in Sharpie writing, if you will. And we talked about 2, feeling comfortable, 3, putting you almost solid into the top 8, and you've already gotten 2 of those wins. And we only talked about, okay, if you can get 1 at Mississippi State and then win the series against Georgia, you're in a good spot. So Auburn ahead of schedule right now, as you would imagine. Again, the opportunity of 19 and then 20 possible wins in the postseason and continuing to get to that in the SEC tournament. But really excited to break down 2 very different styles of baseball here this afternoon. Georgia, you feel like hits more home runs than the entire rest of college baseball does, and so you match that with the number 1 top to bottom pitching staff in the entire country. One of those things is going to have to give here this afternoon and throughout the weekend.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And so with 2 great guests, the phone lines are open before, during, and before, after, and after those 2 guests we have on the show today. Again, Brad Law at 2:30, Chris Gordy at 3:30, so pretty much any time in between, before or after them. We'd love to hear from you on the phone lines if you'd like to call in and be a part of the show. 334-321-1390. That number again, 334-321-1390. You can also shoot us a text in the On the Line text box at 334-784-1067. If you have series predictions for baseball this weekend, or seeding predictions for baseball, where Auburn you think they're going to end up in the national seeding, or anything else on your mind.
Our good buddy Tripp, how are you on this Thursday afternoon?
How are you?
How are you? Are you feeling a little glonky?
No, I feel great. I mean, it's a beautiful day outside.
Did you pick up on that? Do you know at all what we're talking about?
No.
Oh, man. Youth.
Yeah.
Youth.
I remember my young days.
Yeah.
You never seen that video? Man, I feel pretty glonky.
Glonky today? I assume it's some kind of vine or something.
Kind of.
I don't even think it's a vine.
I don't think so. No, it was just a full on interview.
We'll show you at some point. Anyway, okay, yeah.
Just don't look up.
The glasses today, is that because you were admitted your blindness yesterday?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was more.
Tripp told us in the lobby yesterday that he's blind in his right eye.
Yeah, like it's legal blindness. I could see like shapes and colors, obviously, but I just can't read anything.
For a guy that doesn't wear contacts or glasses, was just like, yeah, I'm blind in my right eye. He also said, if you walk up and approach me from the right side, I won't see you.
If from behind. Like, I will be walking, like, let's say I'm walking downtown or walking on campus, someone's with a bike, and they just, like, go right by me. If I'm in AirPods, I had no idea they were there. It's like, ah, well.
So, like, no, you have, like, no peripheral vision in your right eye.
It's
is that
not
what it is?
A little bit. It's not as good as my left eye, but it's fine.
What shape is this? No, I'm just kidding. So, in the studio today, there are, like, 3.5 combined good eyes,
yeah,
with both of mine being listed in there as good.
Yeah, you're 2 of the 3.5. Yeah, yeah, literally.
My left eye's great, yeah.
My eyes are terrible. Horrible.
Terrible.
Terrible.
Yeah, it's so bad. Well, so yes, Tripp, happy to have you producing and being a part of the show.
As
man,
always.
We are excited to dive into Auburn baseball, because again, tonight it begins at Plainsman Park, 7 o'clock first pitch, Auburn and Georgia. Jake Marciano getting the baseball tonight for Auburn, and I said this one day this week, and I want this to be the best start of the year for Jake Marciano.
Yeah.
I want him to go back to retro Marciano. And by no means has he been bad, but his last outing was not what Auburn needed. It's not what Auburn wanted. And we know the ability that he has. And taking Auburn's pitching out of it for just a moment, I am curious on what Georgia's offensive approach looks like, because we know that they're one of the best home run hitting teams in college baseball, but they're also not in Athens. They're not in a launch pad. They're in Plainsman. That isn't as much of one because of how it's shaped and the wall and left and things like that. So I wonder what their plate approach is tonight and this weekend. I think they're probably going to see the best pitching rotation they've seen all year. And they also have already clinched an SEC regular season title. So all of that, I think, plays a major factor. But Marciano tonight, I want him to shove.
Yeah, and going back to the mound that you know and that you've looked so good on pretty much all season long, is going to be really, really fun to watch. And you mentioned it, just the strength on strength. And Georgia, one of the best offenses you'll face all season long. And this Auburn staff, the best pitching staff, one through, it feels like, eight that you have anybody in the pen that you can go to. That'll be the most difficult you'll see all season long, and it will be for Georgia. Georgia comes into play 41-11, Auburn 35-16. 21-6 in conference play are the Dogs, 16-11 are the Tigers. Georgia hitting .328 as a team, .445 on base percentage. Auburn hitting right at .300. And a .396 on base percentage, but we mentioned it. The ballpark will play a big factor, and also you are hoping for the betterment in terms of the Auburn Tigers, because Auburn has hit 64 home runs this season, which isn't a low number by any means, and obviously there's been a lot of conversations on the temperature heating up, Auburn's bats heating up in terms of hitting the long ball. Auburn with 64 home runs, Georgia with 140.
That's stupid, man. That's ridiculous.
140.
In 40 games? 39
games? In 52 games.
52? Okay. God. That's stupid, man.
I mean,
I don't have the splits in front of me, but I wonder what the split is on that.
I was trying to look at those. Producer Tripp, if you could see Georgia's home run stats at home versus away.
Yeah, let me look that up. I was looking to see.
I thought
see
he was going
to
say, yeah, right.
No, I was looking to see how many.
A good producer would have.
I know. Well, I'm actually pulling up a stat to show you how many 10, like, double digit home run games they have. I was counting that.
Not what we asked.
Well, that's what I'm gonna do.
But I would imagine of the, what'd you say, 144?
140. Yeah.
140. I am willing to bet. Have not looked at it. I'm trying to think. I'm going to say,
and again, this is not in conference play either, where there have been a couple of games where they outscore opponents 26-1 or 27-3.
I'm
going to
say that 87 of them have been hit in Athens. 87 of the 140 home runs that Georgia baseball has hit this year, 87 of them have been hit in Athens. That's my guess. Without looking at it, that is my guess. 87.
They've only, gosh, they're 31-7 at home. They're only 10-3. 10-4 neutral site and away from Foley Field.
Combined?
Yeah.
They've only played 14 games away from their stadium.
That's wild.
That 87 number might not be accurate then. It might be like 100.
Auburn has played 23 games away from home.
So then you look at it from that perspective, let's just look at the Georgia team as for a moment here, talking about Hoover, regional, super, right? Hoover, they're obviously going to be in Hoover, but the regional and super, they'll host in Athens, but Omaha's not in Athens. That would scare me as a Georgia fan. As a Georgia baseball fan, I would worry about my team stepping out of their home ballpark if they've only done it 14 times. That doesn't even sound right.
They have had...
That includes conference play?
Yeah, they've had 4 series away from home. And then a couple of midweeks.
That's terrible.
I mean,
that's bad scheduling.
Makes sense because you have the 5-5 for home and away, but the fact that you just didn't go anywhere.
Yeah, that's bad scheduling, in my opinion. I mean, why would you not? And maybe we're just blind because Auburn is so good at going across the state of Alabama,
right,
and going to Texas and, you know, to Arlington and things like that. Maybe we're just kind of blind to it, but I don't know, man.
Their one neutral site game, they got run ruled at Truist Park to Georgia Tech.
I remember that. That was phenomenal.
I remember that.
Yeah.
All right, so they've hit, if my math is correct, 101 home runs at home.
101. I changed my answer and was a lot closer when I had more information.
Which does make things, I mean, if they've hit 39 away from home in 14 games.
It proves that they could still hit the long ball.
That,
doesn't matter where they are.
Shows that that is the offensive approach. And you mentioned, I'm interested to see the way that the offense changes. I don't think that it does. And again, by no means is Plainsman Park a pitcher-friendly park, but it's not what some of these places are, and it's dang sure not where Auburn has played the last couple of weekends.
No, it's one of the more neutral ballparks for hitters and pitchers, which is why playing games there is just so fun, because you just never know what you're going to get into, right? And again, I go into what is the mentality of this top five Georgia team, who has already clinched the regular season SEC title, who has already clinched the number one seed in Hoover next week, and who has already clinched a top three or four spot in the national seed lines when the rankings and the selection show happens in less than 2 weeks, right? They're a good ball club, and they're very well coached. I don't expect them to come in and not care at all. But what happens when they get punched in the mouth? What happens if they lose game one? What happens if they lose game two? Do they just be like, all right, baseball, it is what it is. Obviously, you got to play it the right way, and if you don't, the baseball gods will punish you. But they may not be as, you know, disciplined in the box. They may not throw all of their major arms. They may not, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just, there's a lot more for Auburn to gain this weekend than there is Georgia in terms of this series this weekend, which is why I think mentally, Tripp, Auburn has the advantage against Georgia.
Yeah, I mean, again, you talked about the home field advantage. That does matter, especially in a ballpark where you know the dimensions of versus one that you don't want. You're only playing three times instead of, you know, 15 times.
Yeah, and Auburn, again, is coming back home to Plainsman Park after playing eight straight road games.
Yeah, and so I think that's going to be great. And I think that the environment is going to play a big factor in this game, where not only you're honoring your seniors for your last home SEC series, not only are you honoring, you know, Josh Donaldson, Rod Bramblett, and all of those guys, and it's a top five matchup. These are the two best teams, or two of the best three teams in the SEC. That it's going to be a packed Plainsman Park tonight, Friday night, and Saturday night. So I think that the environment and the team is going to feed off of that energy, and that's going to be a lot easier for Auburn than it is, you know, than Georgia having to combat that.
Yeah, Josh Donaldson being honored this weekend, as you mentioned, and then how cool is it, man, for them to be naming the radio booth there at Plainsman Park after the late Rod Bramblett? I mean, that's going to be really, really special.
Looking at some of the park factors, I was trying to get this number right here. Park factors is the difference in runs scored at home compared to on the road. Based off of what the park does for the home team versus the away team, Auburn's park factor sits at 1.09, so the home team scores a tenth of a more, basically, run per game. When you're looking at Georgia, it's right at one, which means that Foley plays even in terms of, yes, you see the Georgia home run numbers, but goes to show that everybody else does there as well.
Yeah.
Rather than at Auburn, where they score a tenth of a more run, again, in terms of overall park factor, not saying that Auburn scores a tenth of a run more than the other team does, but the way just the park plays favors Auburn's style a little bit more than the road team that comes in, based off of the dimensions, based off of how everything plays.
Yeah, Auburn and Georgia this weekend starts tonight. You can listen to the radio broadcast locally here in Auburn Opelika. If you can't make it to Plainsman Park, Andy Burch and Brad Law will have the call here locally on Wings 94.3. It's our sister station next door. First pitch tonight, 7 o'clock. They'll be on the air at 6:45. We're going to talk to Brad Law coming up at 2:30, but we'll take our first break, and before we do, we'll look at some of the other series going on around the SEC, plus what is truly up for grabs for Auburn this weekend. All that here as we're just underway on the Thursday edition of On the Line.
This is Amber from Amber and Ian. You're listening to On the Line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader ESPN 106.7.
From revolution to rockets, from dusty frontiers to city skylines, these are the moments that shaped America. This is the American Minute, presented by Bucks Island. Christmas night, 1776. The American Revolution was nearly lost. General George Washington and his ragged Continental Army faced freezing winds along the Delaware River. Many soldiers had no boots. Morale was collapsing. But Washington had one bold idea. Cross the river. Surprise the Hessian troops in Trenton. In darkness and snow, the army pushed boats through ice. By morning, they attacked. The victory was small in numbers, but enormous in spirit. The Revolution lived to fight another day. One more moment that shaped the country we call home. The American Minute is presented by Bucks Island, family-owned and operated, serving boaters since 1948. Online at bucksisland.com.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
We are back here on ESPN 106.7. This is the Thursday edition of On the Line as we are talking Auburn baseball, talking a little SEC baseball as well. We have Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network coming up at 2:30. So he'll join us after the bottom of the hour break coming up in about 11 minutes. He'll join us. We'll talk to him about the series this weekend at Plainsman Park, about all the special events going on this weekend at Plainsman Park, and what he expects to see between Auburn and Georgia. And we alluded to this a little bit yesterday, but it's marvelous to me that Auburn baseball, yet again, is a part of the biggest series in the SEC this weekend and the biggest series across college baseball this weekend.
And how wild is it that you feel like if it were not for, again, the midweek, and again, for previous opportunities, this would be...
Stop. No, I'm going to get it. Stop.
Come on.
Aha.
There we go.
Shoot.
If it were not for Texas and Georgia Tech, I mean, there have been three times this year where it is set to be the biggest matchup that Plainsman Park has ever hosted.
Yeah.
If it were not for the others, I mean, this is a top five matchup. This is what so many people hope is what the final games and the final series looks like. And the fact that, man, Auburn has the opportunity, if they can get one and feel very, very confident, it puts them in a really, really good spot.
All right, let's get to the phone lines while we have a couple of minutes. 334-321-1390. And believe we have Dwight from Montgomery calling in. You're on the line, my friend. What's going on?
Well, it's actually Clay from Montgomery.
Oh, God. Blame that on Tripp.
Dwight.
Blame that on Tripp. Way
on
to
me,
go.
Sorry.
Clay, your new radio name is Dwight.
Yeah, you are now Dwight from now on.
I will forever be Dwight from Montgomery.
What's going on, Clay? You. Dwight from Montgomery?
Look, I was so happy today when I saw that Auburn was going to name the radio booth after Rod.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been an Auburn fan longer than y'all have been alive, and y'all don't remember probably the regional in Tallahassee. What would that have been, about 95 or so, when I was asked him about this when he comes on. I'm sorry for the street noise.
You're good.
But it was Rod said, swing and a miss, batter out. Oh, wait, he dropped the ball. And the next pitch, David hit it to his high school across the road, and that gave Auburn their first trip, ended up being their first trip to Omaha in forever.
Mm-hmm.
and going back, and if y'all listen to the games, you know, they play, where were you when this happened?
Yeah.
And they'll you know, do the replays. And that's one of them. And what I have noticed, that's the only time I can ever remember Rod's voice breaking.
Hmm.
It absolutely went high.
Yeah.
And broke down, and because he was such a great play-by-play guy. I didn't think anybody could ever replace Jim Fife, and he did it. And to replace the king, you have done something, which Jim didn't do baseball, but that was – he and Andy, they were the best – pair, period, ever to call baseball. And I'm so happy that they had changed the name and they're going to give it to them. Now Bradford T. Law is also really good with Andy.
Yes.
They are I love listening to them and the banter they have, because there's so much downtime in baseball, and they kid and joke with each other, and you end up picking up on the inside jokes. But Brad is just as good. But I just wanted to take my hat off and tip it to Auburn for doing that, and something special for Rod, because
absolutely.
He become part of our life.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've not heard that call, go look it up, because it is just a wonderful call.
Yeah, he's got a bunch of them, doesn't he? I mean, he was incredible. Dwight, we appreciate you, my friend. Thanks for calling in.
Okay, but I can do math. That's enough to me and y'all.
Hey, you can do math, and I guess we can't and can't get names right. So I don't know
and
what that makes
read.
Us. Yeah, I don't
or
know
listen.
What I don't know what that can makes us. Professionals, if you can believe it or not.
Okay, if you say so.
Appreciate
right,
the call.
Guys.
Yeah, appreciate the call, man. Thanks for listening in Montgomery. That is Dwight, a.k.a. Clay, from Montgomery.
1997, the regional in Tallahassee, or the super regional, when Auburn was the home team, down 7-5 in the bottom of the ninth, the 1-2 count, David Ross hit it over the ginormous fence that stood at Florida State for a really long time. And I forgot, man, that was the call he was talking about. Then I went back and found it, and yeah, I mean, I've seen the clip plenty of times, and man, the retro Auburn uniforms back then. But
yeah,
a really, really cool moment that brought Auburn closer to the World Series.
Rod just had such a unique way, and I think it's something that you and I try to do with our respective schools and broadcast. He had such a unique way of being so professional, so crisp, so clean, but also was just a fan at heart.
Yeah.
And that is something that I pride myself on and have in the 4 years that I've called games, and I know you do the same. And so, yeah, really, really cool that Auburn is going to name the radio booth at Plainsman Park after the late Rod Bramlett. So that's going to happen this weekend. Really excited for that. And a guy that can speak on it a little bit is Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network, who joins us on the phone lines coming up right after this. We'll talk to him about that, plus the series happening all together and what else is going on around Auburn Athletics. Bradford T. Law joins us on the phone lines right after this.
Minutes into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
30 minutes into the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Jacob Goins, Christian Griffin with you in the studio. Producer Tripp Upton in here as well. And we get to the phone lines and welcome in a guy who joins us every Thursday at 2:30, and a perfect time to do so. Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network joining us on the phone lines now. Brad, we appreciate you taking the time. It's set to be a gorgeous weekend weather-wise here in Auburn, and of course a lot of baseball and some great honorings happening at Plainsman Park as well.
Yeah, it's a little bit of everything. It's the last chance in a regular season series. I don't think it's the last time for the year that you'll see Auburn at home, but it's a marquee matchup. You know, like, not only do you get a top five series, but you get to see graduation and senior day. You get to see Josh Donaldson honored and his number added to the wall at Plainsman Park. And then Saturday we dedicate the broadcast booth to the late Rod Bramlett and name that after him. So, it's like as if the top five baseball series wasn't enough, and as if there weren't SEC tournament seedings and possible national seeds up for grabs this weekend, you have all the other as well. It's going to be just nonstop activity at the ballpark this weekend.
Well, we want to start with the broadcast booth being named in Rod's honor, because we had somebody call in the previous segment and was excited about that and felt that it was obviously the correct move, and referenced his call in 1997 in the Tallahassee Super, or in the Auburn and Florida State Super Regional, and then just got, you know, going down the line of all the legendary calls and baseball being the heart of that with Rod and Andy for so many years. I mean, what do you think it truly means, if you could put it into words? You're one of the better ones, I think, to do so, of why this is happening and why it just was an absolute no-brainer to name the radio booth there at Plainsman Park after Rob Bramlett.
Well, I thought you touched on it there, Jacob, and Coach Thompson talked about it yesterday at his press conference, that, you know, everyone you talked to, this seemed like the very easy and right. Sometimes things are easy but not right. Sometimes things are right but not easy. This is both easy and right. You know, Rod spent, over 25 seasons calling Auburn baseball, and some monumental days of Auburn baseball with Hal Baird's teams that went to the College World Series, and, you know, regional teams, and the beginning of the Butch Thompson era with regional wins in Raleigh, North Carolina, and and super regional matchups, and just all kind of, I think about Creed Simpson's walk-off homer in 2010, even though Auburn didn't win that regional. That's an iconic call. I think about some of the walk-off wins over Florida and South Carolina in Butch Thompson's tenure. And, you know, it's Rod making those calls. He had a passion and a respect for the game, certainly a passion and a respect for the coaches and the players and the fans who tuned in and listened. And I think the outpouring that you hear from people today is all the verification and confirmation that you need that this was both the right call to make and an easy call to make.
Well, for me, just personally, I mean, for somebody that didn't grow up in Auburn, that didn't grow up in Alabama for most of my time, but always an Auburn fan and being out of state, Rod's who I listened to for so many different events. I mean, you know, if a game, football was on TV, I would try and watch it, but a lot of the games weren't in my area. Basketball and baseball were definitely not during my days of growing up. And so, yeah, it was one of those things where, man, listening to Rod call games, not being in Auburn, was just, it was everything for me.
And there's something about baseball.
Yeah.
And I hope, like, if fans don't really relate to this, then they don't, and that's fine. It's not for them. But the ones who do will really relate. There is something about baseball on the radio.
100%.
Yeah, you got like 60 regular season games. That's very different from 12 football games where each one is an event.
Mm-hmm.
For the average fan, not all 60 baseball games are events you build around. Sometimes you're going to listen to the radio broadcast after dinner while you're doing the dishes. Sometimes you're going to listen to the radio broadcast when you're mowing the grass on Saturday afternoon. You didn't stop your world to go to the game or watch the game, but Rod's voice was there not just for the walk-off home run, but for the 6-4-3 double play, or for the game-winning double down the left field line in a non-conference game. And those things matter. That reliability, that consistency, the fact that, you know, when the game was on the air, he was going to be on the call. And that's the way it is for all of our favorite baseball teams. Like, Braves fans remember whether it was Ernie Johnson Sr. or Skip Carey, or now it's Ben Ingram. Like, whoever your team is, that's the beauty of the baseball thing, because you're not stopping your life for every game of the regular season if you're not, you know, in the thick of it with them. But you like knowing that that voice is there.
Again, Rob Bramlett being honored in terms of getting his name on the radio broadcast booth. A really, really awesome feat that Auburn's doing. But the two gentlemen sitting in there going to have their voices all over the broadcast here coming up this weekend. Coming up tonight, Andy and Brad, and we do have Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network here with us. Let's dive in to some of these games in this series. Everybody knows all of the numbers in terms of what Georgia wants to do with the long ball, 140 of them throughout the season. But this is not fully... This is not a as much of a launch pad, not as much of a hitter-friendly park. And Auburn, the number one team in the country in terms of team ERA and WHIP, all of these numbers, it's strength on strength. One of those has to give. Your initial scouting report when you look at this Dogs team and the way that Auburn has to try and respond.
This is Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant in WrestleMania 3. This is the irresistible force meeting the immovable object. This is the best hitting team statistically in the SEC against the best pitching team statistically in the SEC. We're not talking about the best of one against a team that's really good in the other.
Right.
We're talking about the best against the best. And can Auburn do it again? Six straight weeks, you've wondered, can Auburn win the series? Six straight weeks, Auburn has responded yes. They held Florida to 6-3 and 5 runs. You know, they held Oklahoma to 4-2 and 4. They held Texas A&M to 5-4 and 4. Mississippi State got a big number in the first game of the series, but then they limited the Bulldogs to 4-2. Can these arms do it again with a full week of rest? I think that's where the headline starts and ends with this, is the best hitters against the best pitchers. And, you know, yeah, the irresistible force meeting the immovable object.
I heard you talk with Chase Frelick in the Regions Bank postgame show. I believe it was after game two, his solo home run, talking about the win number 15 and how that is kind of a benchmark for SEC teams. If you can get to 15-15, you really like where you're at in terms of postseason. Auburn's already gotten to that point. It's 16 wins right now, 3 more regular season games to go, and then obviously Hoover as well. I mean, you get into the point of 17, 18, 19, 20 Southeastern Conference wins. I mean, we talked with Butch Thompson earlier in the week as well and said, man, the word special is overused when it comes to what teams and what sports are able to do. But, man, it's hard to think of too many other words that can go. And when you look at this team, where do you feel Auburn sits right now? And what do they need to do in terms of a national seed, if anything at all? And more importantly, what do you want them to do and continue to do working their way down to Hoover here in the next week?
Yeah. You know, the thing to do to build anticipation for the series would be to say Auburn needs to get at least one to lock in a national host spot. And I don't think that's the case. I think they could. I don't think they're, you know, I don't think they're going to get swept. But I think even if they did, the resume is good enough. I think 16 with the number one strength of schedule, understanding the way RPI works, and Georgia's number 15 in the RPI coming in, even 3 losses to them doesn't knock you out of a regional host spot. I think one absolutely guarantees it and, like, gives you the same or better resume than you had last year when you were on the top half of the national seed bracket. I think if you were to get 2 this weekend, you might be the number 2 overall seed when those sites are announced. So I think the floor is still a national seed for this team. Maybe you got to win one in Hoover just to solidify it after that, but I really do. I think if you get one, you feel extraordinarily good about it. And then if you start talking about a 7th straight series win and, you know, handing Georgia just its 2nd series loss of the year, yeah, you're talking maybe the 2nd national seed.
Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network with us here on ESPN 106.7, our weekly guest, Thursday afternoons at 2:30 on the phone lines. And the pitching rotation, same as a week ago. Marciano gets the ball tonight, Alvarez tomorrow, and Petrovic on Saturday. Brad, your thoughts on those 3 guys getting back into that rotation? We saw it early in SEC play, then, you know, got moved around a little bit, but now back to those 3 guys, plus Jackson Sanders in there. If one of those guys gets in trouble, your thoughts on what you've seen from them down the stretch and what you hope they can do this weekend?
Yeah, and I don't think, Jacob, that it's performance-based that the schedule was changed. I think it was all calendar-based, and Marciano was the guy who, when they went from Texas A&M to Mississippi State Saturday to Thursday series openers, Marciano was the guy that, you know, threw fewer pitches than Dre and said, give me the ball, let me open it up. And so he's now had the full week of rest in between starts. And it's sort of like if you watch any of the SEC, like, outdoor track championships, and the runner that starts on the inside lane and the runner that starts on the outside lane, they can be running the same speed, but the inside guy looks like he has the advantage. I think all these teams that played last weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Auburn played Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Auburn maybe was in that outside lane to start, but now they're catching up and may even have an advantage because it's the second week in a row they're on this same rotation of Jake on Thursday, Dre Friday, Petro on Saturday. I love the way that sets up. I think you need a rested and refreshed. Like, you need these guys in peak shape, or at least as much as you could be this time of year, to go up against this offense, and Auburn has that.
So Auburn and Georgia, again, starting tonight. All the series across the Southeastern Conference are Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So they all begin tonight. They all wrap up Saturday. Everybody then preparing for Hoover next week in the SEC tournament. And then, of course, the regional teams and sites and things will be announced shortly after that. Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network with us here on ESPN 106.7. And, I mean, this is pretty much it, right, in terms of what you guys have going on, because obviously football spring practice is wrapped up and the basketball roster complete. I mean, I don't think we have talked to you since Auburn basketball confirmed its non-conference game against Wisconsin in Nashville. Do you have quick thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's great to see that they're answering the strength of schedule questions by continuing to play one of the toughest schedules around. They're just not going to shy away. Again, it shows confidence in the roster construction. It shows confidence in the model that has been in place at Auburn for years, and they're not going to back away from that. So another quality game. I do prefer home and away, but, hey, my preference doesn't really matter. It's going to be a great opportunity for fans in Nashville, and fans here at home will get plenty of opportunities to fill out Neville Arena and have big home environments. So it'll be a home environment because Auburn will have a ton of people, as they always do in Nashville.
And, Brad, one more question going back to baseball before we let you get out of here. Just when looking at the SEC standings, and I know that there's still a full weekend that needs to be played before you really dive into what the double bye looks like in terms of Hoover, but with Texas and Texas A&M playing one less game than everybody else, do you have any insight on what that could possibly mean when you're looking at it right now? I mean, both teams with 16 wins but only 10 losses, Auburn 16 and 11. Does that game not being played, would that punish either one of those teams if it comes to a top four seed, or if that's the case, they're just playing 29 instead of 30?
Yeah, it really depends on what they do this weekend.
Okay.
So Georgia's clinched the one. Texas A&M hosts Mississippi State, but A&M's beaten up. They've announced one of their normal starters isn't going to go this weekend. They're going to rest him, and they've got some position players that are hurting and out of the lineup. Texas hosts Missouri.
Hmm.
So, I mean, I don't want to be – I want to be
– Say it. Say it.
Respectful.
Just say it.
No, I want to be respectful, but, like, if Texas doesn't finish second, there's a major upset there. So, I think you're looking at Auburn. You know, Auburn's watching Texas A&M and Mississippi State. And even though Auburn has the tiebreaker, you can't finish in a tie, so you're not going to have a tiebreaker. The tiebreaker doesn't come into effect. You got to finish with more wins. So Auburn has to do one better in the win department this weekend than Texas A&M does. So that's what you're watching there. You're also watching Alabama, who is hosting Ole Miss. You're also watching Florida, which is at LSU. You're watching Arkansas this weekend. Arkansas, Florida, Mississippi State are all a game behind Auburn and Alabama in the standings. So as it is today, Auburn's most realistic options are anywhere from third to like eight it's insane to think that Auburn could come out of the weekend second or third nationally in RPI, but sixth or seventh in the SEC seedings for the conference tournament next week.
That's insane. Now, I mean, it just shows that every game, every series, every weekend in the SEC matters, not just in football or basketball, but baseball as well. And so a big weekend on tap at Plainsman Park. Again, a huge baseball series, several recognitions happening over the next several days. And the guys at the Auburn Sports Network are going to have you fully covered here locally in Auburn Opelika, Wings 94.3, beginning tonight with a 7 o'clock first pitch between Auburn and Georgia. Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network will be a major part of that. Brad, share it all. Tell the people what they need to know for the next several days.
Absolutely. Just huge. We're going to talk about it. We're going to have special guests. Josh Donaldson will be with us tomorrow during a part of the broadcast. But get it all started with us tonight, 6:45 over on Wings 94.3. These are 7 o'clock games, as you mentioned. So 6:45 starts. Hope to see you. Wave to us in the broadcast booth if you're coming to the games this weekend. And tune us in if you're not able to come to the games. We'll try to paint the pictures for you.
Brad, we appreciate it as always, man. Enjoy this weekend. Same thing to Andy Burcham as well. It's a huge series. Again, so many special things happening. Enjoy the moment a little bit, all right?
Looking forward to it. We'll definitely do it. War Eagle.
War Eagle. That's Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. Every single Thursday, you can hear him with us right here on ESPN 106.7 at 2:30. We'll take a break. We'll come back, wrap up hour number one, and keep talking baseball in hour number two. We got a good friend calling in to talk more baseball, a little bit more on the projection side for the postseason and what this weekend can mean for Auburn. And Chris Gordy comes up in hour number two as well. All that here on ESPN 106.7.
Hey, this is your resident Super Bowl champ, Chris Candy from Unsportsmanlike, and you're listening to On the Line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. That's twice. That's twice today. Both by you.
I was really worried that he put my mic on at the same time.
You gotta, yeah. Maybe we need to put you through the radio training course again.
For context, it's not like I'm sitting here dropping F-bombs while we're going back on radio.
No, but, you know.
Need to sit there and look at our computer, and I'm not allowed to speak before the...
We just need to have a hard cutoff. When the return,
as soon as the return
playing,
plays, I'm not allowed to speak.
You're not allowed to speak, no. I'm with you on that. Well, thanks to Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network for joining us, as he does every Thursday. And, yeah, exciting stuff happening at Plainsman Park. I believe we are going to be at Plainsman Park this evening. Don't exactly know where or how or why, but we are going to be there. Do I have other things that I probably should be doing? Yeah.
But. Comma but.
There he is.
It really is frustrating, though, when you look at Texas and Texas A&M they've played one less game than everybody else. And, of course, they're tied in wins with Auburn right now. But if, again, Texas A&M swept Texas in two games, but if they played a third and Texas won, that would put Texas A&M at 16-11, and then Auburn would be ahead of them because of the tiebreaker, because of Auburn winning that series. And so, really, really weird when you look at
something up here.
All of this, because I'm at the point of, man, if you're half a game back, but it's because that game wasn't played, I think the other team should be rewarded for that.
I think they should just play again, because both of these teams will have the double bye more than likely in the SEC tournament, right?
Unless Mississippi State sweeps.
Neither one of these teams are going to play until
Wednesday, yeah,
minimum, right? I think they should have to meet up and play on Monday. Play a noon first pitch game on Monday. You get
it's almost
Saturday
like a
play
like
and
a,
go home.
Like a built-in wild card game.
Yeah, take Sunday off. Travel Monday morning. Hey, you can play a 2 o'clock game. I've looked up where, unfortunately, there's not a whole lot in between Austin and College Station. Is there a baseball field in Lexington, Texas? They're only 2 hours from each other.
Lexington High, the Panthers.
Yeah, yeah. Just play there. They should have to play.
I'm
a game
sure
on
somewhere
Monday.
In Texas, there's a nice enough baseball field.
I would imagine.
Or. Go play it where it was originally played in that series.
Yeah, they should have to play Monday. 2 o'clock first pitch Monday, Texas and Texas A&M to decide what happens in the top of the standings. Tell me why we shouldn't do it.
Especially if it worked out to where Auburn was then the fifth seed and Texas A&M was the fourth.
Yep.
If I was Auburn, I'd raise hell about it. No, they can go play. And Texas,
prove it.
Texas, you can go and beat Texas A&M. And then if they lose, Auburn slides into the double bye spot.
Makes too much sense. Never going to happen.
Man.
All right, hour number one, flown by, in the book. Stick around, whole lot more coming up in hour number two.
The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what Sports Talk Radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It is the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. We got our good buddy Tripp in the studio as well, and appreciate you being with us to start hour number two. If you missed any of the first hour of today's show, you can always go back and listen to the podcast version. If you missed the first hour, second hour, both hours, no hours, doesn't matter. You can always go back and listen to it on our station website in the podcast center at ESPNAU.com. In that first hour, we talked a lot of baseball, which we're going to continue to do so in hour number two. But we gave our initial thoughts and feelings and thinkings on Auburn and Georgia. Top five series in Plainsman Park this weekend, beginning tonight. Talked about that. We also talked to Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network and got his professional detailed insights on it as well. So super fun in hour number one. Again, if you missed it, go and check it out on our station website at ESPNAU.com.
Coming up in hour number two, we got Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast, joining us as he does every single Thursday, again, at 3:30. We also have a little graphic that we wanted to discuss, talking about the athletic department donations. This was a couple of years ago, so maybe not as accurate, but where did Auburn stand in terms of the SEC and athletic department donations? We also, maybe we'll hit on... No, we're not going to hit on some high school updates. I'm okay. We're
you
not going to.
Sure?
Gonna,
I mean, we can. If
I
you
see
want.
It on the rundown, but I don't know if we're going
to
hit.
I'm happy to talk about it for now.
We may not have time to hit on that here this afternoon. It's unfortunate that
I just figured it would be quick for you.
Yeah.
I say that like I'm.
We
not
made it enough. Further than you. Because you haven't played it yet.
We haven't played it.
But here to start hour number two, I guess we'll bring this guy on. Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
We got Jack Hutton here with us, joining us. I guess in this term, it's not necessarily any of the other accolades. It's Auburn Baseball Analytics. I feel like that's more of the way to go about it in this conversation.
And the creator of the HUD rankings.
Yes.
Sure, give me all the accolades, man. Analytics, give me Auburn High, give me President of the United States, whatever, man.
The fourth in our celebrity scramble. I mean,
you are old enough to be president now since you're in the 30s.
Guys,
so.
I think, now, Jacob, what we did the other day, I did not show you very well, but I think I have figured out the driver.
What I saw the other day, you did not figure out the driver, brother.
That is correct. Jacob saw a very bad representation of it the other day, so we'll see if it's still.
I hope so. Yeah, you're going to be with us on Monday morning. We get to go play in the Aces for Austin charity golf scramble out at RTJ, seeing our good friend Anthony Turling of AO Tourism and his wonderful wife and wonderful family. They're an incredible foundation, the Austin First Foundation. So super excited to be there. Auburn Network is a presenting sponsor with that as well. So yeah, you're going to be with us, and look, you know your drill, you know your role on this scramble team. Hit the ball far, we'll handle the rest.
Yeah, exactly, man. Make a few putts every now and again, but
no, hit the ball far.
I got you. I hit ball far.
Hit ball, yeah. See ball, hit ball. Buddy.
Well, there's a team that comes to Plainsman Park that hits the ball really far.
Wow.
And we got to figure out a way to not allow that. How does that start tonight, Mr. Jack Hutton, with Jake Marciano back on the bump in a past couple of outings that haven't been up to his standard? What does he need to do tonight and this weekend before we dive into some of the overall projections for the Auburn Tigers in the SEC?
Yeah, you got to remember on Jake Marciano, still a sophomore, and so hasn't really been, you know, the main guy in an SEC rotation. I mean, this is his first time doing this at the end of the year even, and so a little grace for the young man specifically. But I do think that there's some potential with these Auburn starters the next few days to really hammer home some good outings on Georgia. You know, Jake's a lefty, and Auburn's going to have to deal with that tonight, but the next 2 days, you've got a power righty and then a guy who can locate really well from the right side. This Georgia team is a heavy right-handed hitting lineup. Of course, you got Daniel Jackson, who leads the SEC in just about everything offensively. You're going to get some guys that have a ton of pop there, like a Trey Phelps, who leads the team in or doesn't lead the team, but would lead the team in home runs and average. If it weren't for Daniel Jackson, he leads things off. They got a bunch of guys up and down the lineup. Michael O'Shaughnessy is another transfer from Davidson that has left the yard a lot this year. So a lot of transfers, a lot of power in the lineup. But one thing that I do think that Auburn can take advantage of here is the fact that they've got really good starters that throw righty. And I think that can mean some trouble for these Georgia bats. Georgia does hit lefties well, and so Jake's going to have to locate tonight. Marciano's going to have to be really good at locating the fastball and including that slider in there and getting Georgia off balance like that. But I really do like Auburn's chances to put up really good outings on the mound, especially Friday and Saturday night. And again, that's not me saying Auburn's got no chance tonight or anything. Look, I think Jake Marciano can absolutely shove against this team. He's just got to be able to locate his fastball, something that he hadn't been able to do very well the last few weeks. He's left pitches up, especially on two strike counts. He has got to get the ball down in two strike counts and force this Georgia team to keep it on the ground.
Jack, what is your thoughts as well of taking, man, just a couple of years ago, quite some time back in my day when I was in this game. Again, I was a lefty batter, and even when I was facing the opposite arm, facing a right-handed arm, I didn't feel like the changeup was a major, major part of the scouting reports. Have you noticed it? I see it all the time in high school, and again, noticing it more and more of right-handed arms to left-handed hitters or left-handed arms to right-handed hitters, and talking Jake Marciano against a heavy right-handed hitting team like Georgia, where you saw the changeup work its way more into effect the second and third time through the lineup, but now it's becoming a really, really popular pitch to get strikeouts, to get the swing and miss because it looks like those fastballs. Have you seen any numbers in terms of why that number or why that pitch continues to be thrown in different counts?
Yeah, you know, not necessarily numbers, Christian, but I will say I think the principle itself makes sense because, you know, I mean, it just as it is a little easier for these guys to hit opposite arms from where their hand is in the batting box. You know, if they're a righty, it is easier to hit left-handers. If you're a lefty, you know, vice versa on righty pitchers. And so in terms of, you know, tunneling pitches and pitches looking a little bit better from the opposite side coming towards you, at that point, you've got to find something else to try and throw a hitter off. And how do you do that? You change speeds without, you know, really giving it away. And so the changeup is one of those pitches, I think, that a lot like the slider. You know, I think a slider is a little bit easier to pick up in the air. You know, you can see the spin on the ball. You can see kind of the one seam rotation with it, just like a curveball you can. But I think that the changeup is a little bit more difficult to define out of a pitcher's hand because a lot of these guys will throw it. They'll either throw the palm ball version with all four fingers over it, or they'll throw a circle change, which it doesn't look exactly the same as a fastball, but it's harder to decipher out of a pitcher's hand than when he's snapping off a curveball or a slider like that. So I think that changeup is an off-speed pitch that just changes velocity coming towards the plate. And for guys that are opposite hand to the batter, that's that's their calling card for how they're going to try and carve up a batter. I mean, it's harder to do with pitches going away from him or diving down into him. You got to find a way to get him with differences in speed, and I think the changeup's the way to do it.
We got our buddy Jack Hutton on the phone lines, voice of Auburn High Softball, my broadcast partner for Auburn High Baseball, also does analytics for Auburn University Baseball. And when we look at the Auburn offense, right, Auburn University offense, that is, sometimes it's great, sometimes it's not. And this weekend, it's going to have to be. Even if Auburn's pitching is solid, Georgia can still put up runs. We were looking at the home run numbers on the season plus their splits, and it was like, okay, they've hit a ton at home, but this team for Georgia's had a lot of home runs on the road too. Who or what does Auburn need to do well? Who needs to have a good series this weekend offensively for Auburn if they want to come away with a win? And then I have another question on offense after that, my friend.
Jake, I think it's a great segue into Butch Thompson's quotes on it earlier in the week. I think he talked to a couple media members about it, but he mentioned a lot more of the offense needing to have a good week. And, you know, it may not make sense because you're saying, well, Georgia's got a great offense, so, you know, your pitchers have got to be really good. Well, I think there's a little bit of, and don't get me wrong when I say this, I still think Auburn wants to pitch it well, but I think there's a little bit of, you know, we're going to let Georgia get theirs. And not let them, but we're expecting Georgia to get theirs. Georgia's good at what they do, and so we're expecting them to get theirs. The counter to it is, can you slow them down enough to give your offense a chance to have a really good day and win the games? And I think that's what the approach that Auburn is taking this weekend is. You know, you've got to – obviously, you've got to pitch it well, and you've got to try to get out of some jams. But offensively, I mean, you know, you're looking at guys – you're looking at your veterans like a Chase Frelick, like an Eric Guevara, like other guys in the lineup that maybe are not seasoned veterans, but you got Chris Rimbert, Bub Terrell. I mean, those guys have got to swing it well. I think, though, that the biggest point that Auburn needs to focus on this week is – not striking out. We have seen that the last couple of weeks. Auburn has been a heavy strikeout team against Mississippi State on Friday night. They were a heavy strikeout team against Jacksonville State. That's something that Auburn has had a calling card on all year, as they just haven't done it. They have not struck out much. One of the teams that strikes out the least in the SEC. So I think Auburn's got to get back to that. You got to start putting balls in play. It's not like Georgia is the worst fielding team in the nation, but they're not the best in the SEC. So you got to make them make plays. I think the offense is going to have to not necessarily match Georgia's power, but they're going to have to pick up some slack here, because the last few weeks Auburn has had a few games where the pitching has really had to drag them over the finish line, given that the offense has just struggled late.
And Jack, when it comes to the offense, one of those spots in the lineup that Auburn just has not been able to figure out is the DH spot, right? It seems like it's been a rotation of Cade Ballou, Logan Gregorio, Todd Clay, Lucas Steele. Eddie Madrigal seems to be the guy, but even the numbers there aren't fantastic. I mean, what does Auburn do at the DH spot this weekend, but then just throughout the rest of whatever postseason play looks like for Hoover and a regional, a super, or Omaha? What does Auburn do at the DH spot? Because they're just not getting much production there right now.
Give you a couple of numbers here that I just think are interesting, and I don't think that they're giving anything away here. But, you know, obviously, Eddie Madrigal, I think, is the guy there. He was brought in as the everyday first baseman. Auburn's had Ethan Bingaman hold that down over there. And so, you know, in order to not keep playing Eddie on a bad ACL or a ACL that was bad not too long ago, you're giving him less ABs or less time on the field, I guess, as a DH. I think he's the answer right now. I mean, I think that's just who you go to. And you got to remember, you know, this guy is still in essentially the first half of his season in terms of the total number of at-bats. You go back to last year where, boy, Ike Irish even was struggling at some point like that. I mean, guys go through these small little slumps, and then they come back to life. Eddie had a couple of hits the other night at Jacksonville State, so, you know, I'm not terribly concerned about that. I think what is interesting, though, is You know, I know that a lot of people kind of roll their eyes about it, but a guy like Cade Ballou, I don't think that Auburn fans realize how much he gets on base more than, I guess, the other options behind him. And it's not necessarily, you know, you don't just look at the on-base percentage. You're looking at splits. So against lefties in this count, how often does he get on? And Cade Ballou's hitting .270 against lefties this season, which is odd, him being a lefty himself. So there's different things that you can do right there. Maybe you throw Cade Ballou in against lefties just to see if he continues those numbers. You know, I keep beating the drum here, but and I know that he hadn't had a great year, but Todd Clay hit .361 last year at UAB and had an OPS up close to 1,100. So it's not a – that guy just didn't just forget to hit, you know. Same thing with Logan Gregorio, hit .330 last season at NIU with 18 home runs. So I still think that just you can play the carousel as long as you can and just try to get somebody hot there in the order. I think they're doing the right thing, just continuing to find some consistency there. You just you have to keep trying the, you have to keep pressing the buttons on who to put in there, and it may be revolving throughout the postseason. It may be just whoever's hot at the moment, but I think somebody's going to step up and grab it here in the next couple games.
We got our buddy Jack Hutton here with us on the phone lines to get hour number two started here on this Thursday afternoon. And before we let you go, partner, we've talked a whole lot about SEC projections in terms of Hoover, but then also in terms of regional spots, in terms of national seeds. And but again, we know that you are a big analytics guy just because you love baseball and you have your own little ranking system that we kind of look at a little bit more and in just terms of the friendship and off-air types of conversations. And a lot of teams or a lot of spots have Auburn anywhere from fourth to about sixth in terms of a national seed. Where do you see Auburn and where do they have them projected based off of one win, two wins, possibly three wins, or worst case scenario, getting swept here this weekend? What could that look like for the Auburn Tigers?
Yeah, guys, it's pretty simple, and I don't want to give anybody any a heart attack here or anything like that, but I've got Auburn as the number four overall seed right now, and I've got Auburn as a lock for a top eight seed. I don't think this weekend changes. I mean, you know, maybe the RPI takes a couple numbers of it, but it's not going outside, you know, probably the top five or six.
Yeah, 2-4, I feel like you're okay.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's going outside of that top five or six. Auburn was kind of living on the edge last season. The only number that people will throw out as well, you know, they were 17-13 last year. They got to that 17 win mark. I just don't think that the win mark in the SEC is the same as it used to be. I mean, we're talking about putting 12 win teams into the tournament now. That's something that just was unthinkable a couple of years ago. I don't think that it is. I don't think it's too far off that even if Auburn has a blow up weekend and just nothing goes right, I really don't think that they're going to fall far enough to be dropped out of this. I think they've locked it up with wins over A&M and Mississippi State in the schedule they've played this year. Having said that, you'd love to be that top four seed because then, you know, you're playing the lower ranked versions of regional hosts. You know, you're playing the 13 through the 16, and those are teams that they're still great teams. I mean, obviously Coastal Carolina came in here last year and, you know, did what they did, but You've got to know that those teams are going to be, I guess the word is a little bit easier at home for you. You know, if you get those teams at home, it's not a, you know, it's not a team on fire like a Georgia coming in, or it's not somebody that just has this national championship aura about them. It is one of those lower ranked teams that maybe gets out of a regional and you feel like you can handle a little easier at home. So that's just the way the tournament steps up, guys. And I think Auburn is in as a top eight, but can certainly do themselves a favor by taking two this weekend. If they were to do that, I don't think there's any way they're not a top four seed. And I think taking one, you're probably on the line of that top four seed. I would imagine you probably fall about fifth at that point. But again, I don't see Auburn falling out of the top eight. And I think that there's a possibility of a top four seed.
Jack, we appreciate you as always, my friend. Always good to talk baseball with you, whether it's college or high school. And, yeah, we appreciate you again. The creator of the HUD rankings, Mr. Jack Hudden, with us, also helps with Auburn baseball analytics, my broadcast partner for Auburn High Baseball. Not this weekend, I guess, but maybe next weekend if we get to state, since you apparently just have better things to do than to call a semifinal series against the Central Red Devils. It's fine.
Hey, well, get us there, and we'll call state together, man. I'm excited about it. I mean, what a year for Auburn High baseball. Headed to the Auburn High softball end of year banquet tonight. That's going to be a lot of fun. Just a whole lot of fun coming up for Auburn High, and definitely looking forward to beating the Red Devils and going to state, man.
Absolutely. Hey, man, we appreciate it. We will hopefully see you later tonight at Plainsman Park.
All right, guys. Sounds good.
Jack Hudden with us on the phone lines. Appreciate him dropping all the knowledge and the nuggets and the numbers here with us on the Thursday edition of On the Line. Quickly, before we get to break, we're running out of time. Latest D1 baseball projections on the tournament, just what the potential super regional matchups could be, okay? You could have UCLA Oregon as a rematch if everything goes chalk.
Is this okay? The one that was released a couple of days ago?
This one, yes, May 12th edition.
With Auburn and, was it Morgantown?
UCLA and Oregon, Georgia Tech and Kansas, Georgia, Oregon State, Auburn and West Virginia.
Yeah.
That'd be sweet.
But
West Virginia fans would travel.
But look at the two seed in that region. Tripp and I talked about this and how it could legitimately be an Auburn Coastal Carolina Super Regional rematch.
Rematch at Plainsman Park.
Yeah.
Wow. How about that?
And I bet there would be a lot of people that would pick Coastal to win it, too.
I bet they would, because Coastal's only gotten better. They've only gotten healthier, too, for Coastal. So North Carolina, Mississippi State, Texas and Florida State, Alabama, Florida, potentially.
And again, what we talked about,
Texas A&M, Southern Miss.
Some of these two seeds are incredible. Jacksonville State going to Georgia, Ole Miss going to Corvallis.
Cincinnati goes to College Station, Oklahoma goes to Southern Miss.
Yeah.
Shut up, man.
It's wild.
I love college baseball.
I love it.
It's awesome.
Good thing it won't change at all when we talk about it again on Monday.
Nope, not at all. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll have a very quick segment before we get to Chris Cordy of Locked On SEC. All that here on ESPN 106.7.
This is Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike, and you're listening to On the Line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
We are back for, I don't know, 2 minutes until we got to take our bottom of the hour break. We went a little long with Jack Cutting on the phone lines, but talked a ton of good baseball stuff there with him. It's been a heavy baseball show, as you can imagine, since there's just a top five matchup happening tonight at Plainsman Park. Nothing major, and I'm sure Chris Cordy of Locked On SEC will pick Auburn to win this series. This is the one sport that Cordy has nothing bad. There's nothing bad to say about Auburn. He physically can't do it.
Surprised he still joins us, since he can't take those shots.
I know. Yeah.
It's like, sorry, I can't do it this week. Auburn won the series. I don't know what we're going to talk about.
Yeah. Auburn's winners of six in a row. You've got, you know, I know what we are going to talk to him about, though, is some of the comments from Alex Golish when he joined an Atlanta radio station and was talking about the game being moved to Atlanta, because Tripp and I actually talked about that game and scenario getting kind of dug back up yesterday, and Golish has stirred the pot a little bit unintentionally with some Auburn fans and some Auburn writers, apparently. So I'm sure Gordy's got some thoughts on that. But no, we'll talk to him about a bunch of baseball stuff and just other news going on around the SEC, too. So he's joining us coming up in just a few minutes. And he's not going to know what to do, because you and I are both here.
That is also...
This will be the first time in... last week was the first time in over a month that I had talked to Cordy on the air.
Did he throw an elbow at me this time? I'm sure he did.
I don't think he did. Oh, no, I actually don't think he did.
Let's go.
Yeah.
We're in the clear.
One time, here and there is fine, but it just happened to where like all of my games and stuff where I was playing on Thursdays.
You do mention, though, that he picks Auburn. Man, you're looking at D1 baseball. Everybody but one has Auburn to win
of
this
like
series.
12.
Yeah, which is very different to what it has been, because Auburn's been the underdog in like the last four series. on the road. Obviously, again, back at home, you feel more comfortable, but what could go wrong? Auburn now the favorite, according to at least a lot of the quote-unquote expert picks.
Sure, it'll be fine. I'm sure it'll be fine. Yeah. Well, we'll talk to another expert, Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC. Tons to get to with him. Again, baseball series going on this weekend, football news, playoff expansion, I guess. I don't know. All that and more coming up. Chris Gordy, Locked On SEC, one of the longest running guests on this show. He joins us coming up right after this.
Halfway through hour number two. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. And before we get to Chris Gordy, the host of Locked On SEC, again, going to talk to him about the latest projections in college baseball. Of course, Auburn, Georgia this weekend. We'll talk a little football as well. And, we talked briefly yesterday, Christian, about the Auburn-Baylor game because the kickoff time got announced. And
2:30, right?
Yeah, 2:30, the ABC game that Saturday afternoon. And, we had several people calling in and it got and texting in. It got brought back up about it being in Atlanta and not in Jordan-Hare, right?
No way.
It's Golish.
At home, what do you mean?
Yeah, home game in Mercedes-Benz, right? And then Golish had some comments on an Atlanta radio station that weren't all that bad, but people made them bigger than they needed to be, of course. Shocker, I know, journalism. But but Tripp and I were saying too, weirdly enough, it almost takes a little bit of pressure off of Alex Golish and Auburn to win that game in game one because it's not inside the four walls of Jordan-Hare.
Yeah, it makes it to where there's not the added pressure, but that at the same time, he feels like somebody, man, you'd almost want to have the extra pressure. And I'm sure he would, again, giving the right answer, but I'm sure that he's sitting there like, yeah, I also would still love to play my first game as the Auburn head coach against a Power 4 opponent in my own stadium.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely comes off as the guy that would want that, but all things considered, I guess it could be worse.
Yeah, so. I think, again, when we had Anthony Terling in here of AO Tourism, he talked about he wears both hats and he sees both sides of it. And so, I think what Golish said, talking about it being a really good opportunity, although understanding the frustration, I don't know what else he was supposed to really say.
Yeah. Let's get to the phone lines. Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC is standing by. And Chris, have we talked about that Auburn moved that game against Baylor to Atlanta, but they're still calling it a home game and basically they sold it off for NIL money for the athletes?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be interesting. I mean, I think Auburn will still have the home field advantage and all that sort of thing. But, yeah, it is a little weird that, Auburn fans had to go deal with the road trip to Waco last year and go play, at Baylor Stadium on a Friday night in a rocket atmosphere and pulled out the win. And, you'd love to get a return trip to Jordan-Hare and have them have to deal with a packed house, and rocking fans and all that. But, it takes a little bit of something out of the atmosphere doing it in a neutral field. But I get why they're doing it. If this were just a one-off, it wouldn't be that big of a deal. But I do think it's kind of crappy to do that to the fans, to take away a home game all for NIL purposes. And not just for the fans, but for the community as well. I mean, you think about all the bars and restaurants and hotels in Auburn that thrive off of, home games throughout a football season. You take one of those away, it's not great. So I get why they did it. I just, again, there's a lot of negative reasons why I don't like it.
The bars can just get all of their money back when you come for LSU here this year. They can get all that money back.
Yeah, do we get a Gordy signing in Auburn this year?
Yeah, I haven't mapped out my schedule yet outside of week one. I think I'll be in Baton Rouge for LSU Clemson, which, by the way, I mean, it's like, I think Baylor – Auburn might be the second best game in week one. I mean, it's not as loaded of a week one as it's been in years past. But, I need to map it out. It's been a while since I've been to the Plains. I think since, 06 maybe it's been since I've been to Auburn, so it's
Holy
been a while.
Man, you would not
recognize it. It hasn't changed at all.
Yeah, it's only grown by 80 times. There's only, 100,000 more people here, and high-rises galore. That's all, that's the only differences.
All I remember was going out there to tailgate, and we got out there at about 7 a.m., and we looked around. It was all LSU fans. We're going, where are all the Auburn fans? And nobody was out there tailgating, so I guess we were alone on that one.
It's changed a little bit. It's a pretty wild scene. I'll say it's nothing close to what I saw in State College for Penn State when I went up there when Auburn played there a few years ago.
Right?
Huge fan. James Franklin in particular. That place is insanity. Have you ever been there and seen the tailgating scene, Chris?
No, I need to check it out. But I mean, all the Big Ten tailgating starts at 10 a.m. and then ends at noon anyway. So
Yes, you're so right. I love it. Well, Chris, we have a ton more to discuss, and we'll get to talk more football things and schedule deep dives and off-season conversations as the summer rolls on. But, of course, the big event happening this weekend in Auburn is baseball. This is the weekend you should have come to town because it's a top-five matchup, Auburn and Georgia in the SEC regular season finale. I mean, before we dive into that, though, what a season it's been so far and how fast it's gone from the start of SEC play here to the middle of May.
It really has. I mean, I think I told you before the season I liked this Auburn team and I thought they would be a postseason team, but man, I didn't think they'd be this good. And, you know, coming back, losing the opener last Thursday at Mississippi State and, you know, what was it, 10-2, 10-3, I was like, man, alright, well, Auburn finally came back down to earth, and then to come back and win the next two, I think was it sent a message, and that's, you know what, five series wins in a row? I mean, it's ridiculous what they've been doing. So, yeah, they're in a great spot here with a really good Georgia team coming in who's on a heater. What, they took two out of three against Ole Miss and swept Mizzou and swept LSU. And that was a feisty LSU team that led in a couple of those games. In fact, maybe all three they led at some point, but at least the first two by big runs early, only for Georgia's offense to come slashing back. So Auburn is going to need to bring it. You know, the pitching's got to be on point, but you got to score runs to beat Georgia. I don't think you're going to have many 2-1 or 3-2 type games.
So Auburn this weekend against the Georgia Bulldogs again tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday. Chris, when you look up and down the SEC baseball standing, something we've been kind of pondering and wondering about is Texas and Texas A&M. I mean, are they going – have you heard anything or have they said anything, and we may have missed it, about that game that they didn't play? Because that could impact the standings, especially for Auburn, depending on how all the other series wrap up this weekend.
Yeah, no, I mean, as far as I've heard, I mean, they're not going to make it up. So, they're going to have to figure something out here because, yeah, I mean, you got winning percentages and you know, all that kind of stuff on the line here and, you know, tiebreakers galore. So I'll be curious to see what they ended up doing. But, yeah, it sucks, too, because that was more on Texas. I mean, you know, they could have hung around. I know there was rain all day and all that, but, you know, they kept postponing. But to me, I think it was the Longhorns pulled the plug. And look, they lost two in College Station, and they didn't want to lose a third. So I get why they did it.
When you're looking at the SEC baseball standings, because, again, we sit here and we look at Auburn right now sitting at fourth, and they could make their way up to third. They could play their way all the way down to eighth or ninth in terms of the SEC standings. If you had to make a number right now, again, we talked about this with you in the NCAA tournament, and how funny will that number expand over the next couple of years with the number of SEC teams that make it? But if you had a number right now in terms of the field of 64 for the regionals in terms of college baseball, how many SEC teams are you looking at right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm sticking with Baseball America. They're projecting 12. I think 12 is probably the number. I think Vanderbilt and LSU both lost their way out of this thing in the last week. You know, LSU might have been 2 weeks ago, honestly. They really needed a miracle against Georgia to do it, you know, to get in. And, you know, Vanderbilt had a great opportunity last week, and they blew it. So I think they're out. And somebody said, I want to say it's like 19 straight years or something, Vandy has made the postseason. So that's kind of a big one that they're going to miss out. But, yeah, it looks like it'll be Missouri and South Carolina and LSU and Vanderbilt. And it's crazy to think about LSU being the reigning national champs, you know, this great team that went to Omaha and won it all last year and only to come back with, you know, a bunch of the same pieces from last year's team and then miss the postseason altogether. I heard Jay Johnson gave a speech to his team already and said, look, guys, we're going to face reality. Barring us making a run in Hoover and winning the whole damn thing, we're not going to the postseason this year. So pretty shocking for them. But, yeah, I think most people think right now Kentucky and Tennessee and Oklahoma are all in. And the Kentucky one is interesting because they canceled their midweek game earlier this week. I think it was Northern Kentucky, because the FPI was only going to – playing them was only going to hurt them. It wasn't going to help them. So they canceled the game so as not to affect their RPI. So go figure.
Yeah, what are your response on that? Because then I saw ESPN release the article about the NCAA proposing and basically pleading for coaches not to do something like that. Is there anything in the future that's going to work its way as a punishment for taking some of these games off your schedule?
Well, I mean, they had the thing is they had a viable excuse. I think they had a game pushed back on Sunday, and so it was late travel, and then travel issues getting back and all that. So they had a pretty viable response, but again, it was like, okay, well, you guys were good to go Monday, and the game was on Tuesday. You know, you couldn't get ready for a game in a day in a midweek game. So, again, it was a viable excuse, I think, in the eyes of the NCAA. But you're right. I mean, this could end up being a thing down the road. I think rare, you know, exceptions to how these things will pop up, but yeah, this was just one that you know. Sometimes when you play these really crappy midweek games, they don't help you, and sometimes they hurt you more than they help you. So again, I get why they did it.
Chris Gordy of the Locked On SEC podcast with us here on ESPN 106.7. And for folks, I know you have used this for content almost all week long, and rightfully so. For folks who have not heard about the drama going on between Sark and Ole Miss and Summerall getting involved as well, I mean, it seems like there is just pure off-season content going on right now with all these shots being fired at different locations. Can you fill folks in on what's been going on the last several days?
Well, I mean, the Lane Kiffin shots at Ole Miss is, I mean, get used to it. I mean, he's going to take any shot he can at Ole Miss, you know, now being on the opposite side of them. But I thought his comments were, you know, like, in other words, when I read it, my antennas didn't go up. I thought, okay, well, that makes sense, because I've talked to people that have said that, you know, their parents and grandparents still have old school views of how Mississippi used to be, and particularly Ole Miss. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Now, we can acknowledge that there has been tremendous progress there, and, you know, plenty of black families have no problem with sending their sons to or daughters to go play sports at Ole Miss. And I think Ole Miss, the atmosphere is great now for athletes of all different backgrounds. But there is a stigma still. And I think that's what Lane was talking about, was do I think one or two players that came through his school said, you know, hey, coach, I'd love to come here, but my grandparents would never let me come here. Yeah, that was probably a thing. But again, Ole Miss, it's Lane Kiffin saying it, so everybody's got to go, oh my God, what a terrible human being. I can't believe he would say that. He's trying to take barbs at us, all this kind of stuff. And so, yeah, then it follows later in the week where Steve Sarkisian goes, hey, it's hard to go here. You know, we actually go to class here. You know, we don't take basket weaving at Ole Miss. And, you know, no more barbs being thrown to Ole Miss's way. So it is what it is. You know, somebody at Ole Miss told me that they think they take it as a sign of respect, that they're actually on people's radars now, that people are actually thinking and talking about them, whereas opposed to they used to be completely irrelevant. But, you know, the Sark comments weren't that crazy, because if you recall earlier this season, he took a shot, and I think it was pretty specific, at Cam Coleman. He didn't say Cam Coleman, but he talked about a few of their new players they brought in through the portal not going to class, and saying, you know, here at Texas, we go to class. We have a different standard here. And so I think it all is just to kind of beat their chest about how great they are in school. But somebody said it almost is a negative recruiting tool for Sark, because you're telling kids, man, this is a really hard school. You got to go to class. Okay, well, I'll go to one of the other 12 institutions or 14 institutions of the SEC that don't require you to go to class.
I'll take my 3.8 instead of my 3.9.
Yeah, I mean, Johnny Manziel, Joe Burrow all famously took online classes. Like, there's nothing wrong with doing it. If you want to beat your chest about, hey, I know you got drunk last night, but you got to go to your 6 a.m. class at Texas, okay, well, I'll go somewhere else.
Who needs to be a student athlete anymore at Texas when you can be an athlete in Baton Rouge?
Oh, they're all paid professionals now. Come on.
You're absolutely right. It's only a matter of time before we eventually stop calling them student athletes, because most of them don't go to class. And unfortunately, most of them don't get degrees, because they either transfer so many times or they leave early or whatever. But that's the world of college athletics. It's a beautiful thing, huh?
Yeah, I mean, most of your great athletes, you know, leave early and don't get their degree and then have to come back later after the fact. Shaq famously, you know, what was that, about a decade ago, went back to LSU and finally got his degree. He had never finished. So, yeah. But his career worked out pretty well. Looks like he didn't really need the degree.
Yeah, I think he's doing just fine. Well, Chris, we appreciate you as always. Again, Chris Gordy, the host of the Locked On SEC podcast. Chris, how long have you been doing Locked On SEC now?
It'll be 6 years this summer, and, you know, at least covering the SEC in some capacity for 21 years, 22 years now. Gosh. So, yeah, I'm an old man now. You can you can officially get off my lawn.
Well, man, we appreciate you. Again, you do phenomenal work for Locked On SEC. I know your radio stuff there as well, and you've been a big part of our show for so long, and always appreciate you hopping on, being consistent, being passionate, and being insightful on everything that's going on. Tell people how they can find you and your podcast every single day.
Yeah, Locked On SEC, wherever you get your podcasts. I put up my SEC post-spring rankings 1 through 16 on today's show, so check that out, Locked On SEC. And, hey, Auburn, go bite some Bulldogs. Let's get 2 out of 3 this weekend.
Let's make it happen. Chris, we appreciate it, my man. Enjoy the rest of the week. We'll do it again next Thursday.
All right, fellas. Talk to you later.
Chris Gordy, Locked On SEC. Check it out wherever you get your podcast. Without watching the episode or listening to his postseason spring rankings, where would you bet Chris Gordy put Auburn? Dead air. There we go.
Eighth.
Yeah. I like that. Trip, what do you think? If you haven't been around as long, Trip, for the Chris Gordy love-hate relationship he has for Auburn, but
it's either 8 or 11. Like, I think it is in between those two numbers. I know that. Wow. I know that's taking out half the
pick
number.
A number.
Fine.
Here, let me give 11, you six
11.
Of them.
11. 11.
Yeah. Give me a number one.
I think Scotty Scheffler's going to finish in the top 30 this weekend, says Trip Upton.
11.
He put Auburn at. No. That's. I think he put Auburn post spring. I bet he put Auburn. Did you say 8?
Yeah. Right in the middle.
I'm going to go 7.
That's where I came from.
Yeah. I'm going with 7.
Give me a number 1 through 16. 4 through 15. Somewhere in there is a pretty good.
What were you going to say?
How about the nicest out ever from Chris Gordy?
Yeah, I think so. He's pulling for Auburn and maybe picked Auburn, so sorry, Auburn.
I have the number.
Don't, you can't give it away. People have to go watch and listen
I'll
to the episode.
I'll tell you guys during the break.
What a guy. That's our.
He picked number...
I'm not going to do that. No.
Play the out.
No, that's mean.
All right. For real. Play the out. We'll take a break. We'll come back and wrap up the show right after this.
This is Ian Fitzsimmons from ESPN Radio, and you're listening to On the Line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Winding down here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Been a good show today, man. We've talked mostly baseball, honestly. We had other stuff on the rundown, but surprise, we didn't get to it. That's pretty much how we roll. So we'll get to a lot of that stuff tomorrow. To where tomorrow, I think it's, what, me and Tripp in the first hour, and then you and Tripp in the second hour, because I have baseball, you have other duties early on, and so it's going to be a hodgepodge tomorrow, which lately that's unfortunately what it's been anyway, so
I'll be here. With the chaos.
Didn't ask.
Sorry.
I'm kidding, Tripp. I'm kidding.
Yeah, Jacob and Tripp in hour number one, myself and Tripp in hour number two. And so,
yeah,
we'll go from there up until we get completely wrapped up with postseason stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I hope we have another week of this, because if Auburn High were to win this weekend, I would be out of town next Thursday and Friday, and then I'm gone the whole next week on a trip. And so, Oh,
holy cow.
That was so loud.
Wow.
That was so loud. I was not ready for that. Oh, all right, never mind.
Our audio levels are about normal, and then there's just a Mount Everest.
Yeah, jeez. Well, if you missed any of the show today, including whatever that was. You can check it out on the podcast version of the show on our station website at ESPNAU.com and the podcast center. Again, tons of baseball that we talked about today. Two wonderful guests, Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network and Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC were with us today.
And Jack.
And Jack. Yeah, Jack was in there too. No, Jack was phenomenal as well. Auburn, Georgia. What's your series prediction, Christian? Game one tonight, 7 o'clock first pitch, 6:45 airtime with Andy Burch and Brad Law on the Auburn Sports Network here locally on Wings 94.3.
I think Auburn takes two. I think they do. I think it's a – tell me if you've heard this before. It's a pretty bold prediction. I think Auburn wins a rubber match.
Yeah, since they've done so in five of the last six series.
Yeah.
I think Auburn wins tonight. I think Jake Marciano has his best start of the year tonight.
Wow.
Best start of the year tonight for Jake Marciano. After not his best, I think he gives his best tonight. I think Auburn drops game two, and I'm with you. I think a rubber match Saturday afternoon. Auburn takes the series in two. Or in three, sorry.
Trip?
I think we win.
Cool. All right. Auburn, so we're out of time. Just kidding. Sorry.
I knew it.
Auburn wins tonight, loses tomorrow, and then 50-50 shot on Saturday. But I'll go with Auburn.
50-50 shot. What a guy. What a prediction. I love it. Oh, God. We're having fun. At least somebody is. Okay, we're back tomorrow, 2-4, here on ESPN 106.7. For Trip Upton, Christian Griffin, I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. We'll talk to you later.